welcome to Comedy with an Accent podcast. I'm your Taiwanese comedian, Quan Wen. I interview comedians who perform English stand-up comedy but who are not native English speakers or they can have a very distinct British regional accent. This podcast is all about comedy, about accent, about languages, and about the comedy technique. So stay tuned if you're interested. Hello, welcome back to another episode of Comedy with an Accent podcast. You may have noticed there's been no trailer or teaser, I don't know how to call it, at the start of this episode. And there hasn't been another voice, another unfamiliar accent that you hope to explore. Oh, who is the new comedian coming on Comedy with an Accent podcast? It's just the familiar accent from me, your host, your Taiwanese comedian, Quan Wen. This is an episode of my monologue. Fun fact, monologos. Monologo is a literal translation for stand-up comedy in Italian and Spanish. My pronunciation may not be entirely accurate, but it's kind of around there. So why has there been no guest? Let me explain. This is like a mid-season break. I'm a bit unsure about using this reference because lots of people, especially the Generation Z onwards, they've been watching stuff just on streaming. So they don't watch the old TV network or cable TVs or sitcom and drama by season. They used to be a mid-season break. Sometimes, like, I don't know if shows are acts in the middle, if hasn't been doing really well, or they will use the break to make some minor adjustment. I have not entirely run out of episode to publish, but I've just finished recording with one of the stars I've always wanted to interview, the French-English comedian Tati McLeod. There's a lot of insight into being raised bilingually and being bicultural. I've done so much preparation for the episode, but I've been quite busy recently. I didn't have enough time to think of how to edit it. I want to do the episode justice. So I'm planning to use my holiday season this year between Christmas and New Year's to properly edit the episode and release in January. So I'm not in a rush to release it. The second point, I'm in the process of switching from my old recording studio to the new one. My old studio, there was one technician, you may have heard me asking him to guess where my guests come from all the time. Julian has left. The personnel changes makes it a bit more difficult for me to, because originally what I wanted is if I pay a studio and they can get all the technical things done, I'd rather pay a bit higher fee and I can just focus on preparation, on the content, on interviewing the comedian. And since the personnel change, I had to worry about quite a few technical issues from time to time. I don't want to badmouth the old studio. I'm not going to name them. I think it's better if I just move on. So I did find a new studio that's been introduced to me by one of my recent guests, Louis Atkinson. But in this studio, you have to manage everything on your own. And I'm so afraid of recording an hour and a half. I'm basically asking someone to take more than 2 and 2 hours and half of their time in a day, come into a studio. We have a fabulous conversation, only to end up having no file because nothing being recorded. That's my ultimate fear. So I first tried to come to this studio to have a trial run myself. And didn't really work quite well. And I booked the time to come back 2 hours today. Well, part of the reason is because I had a funny tummy last time and I only booked 1 hour. I end up spending more than half of my time in a toilet. So I didn't have time to finish. So you don't need to know this detail, especially if you're eating something. So today I booked 2 hours and I thought if I'm going to pay those amount of money, I'm not just going to blah, 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 like testing. I might as well make use of the time today. So I thought, why don't I record a monologue episode? I did originally have a different idea. I thought maybe I can reverse it. So instead of being the host on this episode, I can become the guest. I have some comedian friends who are really fabulous comedians, but they don't really fit the criteria of having a distinct accent or a foreign accent. But then I thought if they are invited as the host, that's a way for me to introduce some really nice comedians who don't normally fit the profile of this podcast. But then I thought, nah, me being the guest, that's just a bit cringe, isn't it? I mean, it's always a bit cringe when you become a bit too self-referential, self-aggrandizing. I think it's too arrogant. I don't think I'm that important. I don't have that much. Maybe I do have things to share, but a whole episode about me, after 50 or more episodes, I've already shared my story and my experience. I'll be in bits. I tend to mention something when I can feel like I can relate to my guests. I tend to share a bit of my life, a bit of my comedy career experiences so far. So they are not in one episode, but if you listen to all the episodes I've recorded, you get quite a good idea about me and what I've been doing. some of the stories, I even start repeating them. So I don't think it merits another episode with me just being the guest. It would just be a lot of deja vu. Although it's not technically deja vu, it's a podcast. It's like déjà entendu, I don't know. So then I ditched the idea. And finally, I'm going to reference RuPaul's Drag Race. It's a good example when something becomes too self-referential. And I thought, if RuPaul's Drag Race recent season can have so many filler queens, why can I not have a filler episode? Yes, I'm going to say it. I think this is kind of the filler episode. Of course, I deserve a filler episode to make my life a little bit easier. Yeah, you get an odd one with no guests, but bear with me. I do have my idea how to make this episode worth your while. I prepare an outline of things I want to discuss, and I hope at least some of them may find these useful. I first want to cover a 2024 review of the podcast. Since season 2 only came back this year, the 2024 review will also be like a review of the second season, so I thought there's some merit in doing that. Secondly, we just received the Spotify 2024 Unwrapped. When you are a content creator, you also receive a different set of Spotify Unwrapped, and that's on how people have been consuming your podcast. It can be an interesting insight. Insight probably a bit exaggerated. I don't think I offer that much information, but combined with the data I have from my hosting platform, some of the information could be quite interesting. I don't know if you like it, but I'm trying to digest and share the summary with you. Thirdly, I want to cover my own thoughts on producing and editing this podcast. I never know the choice I make are necessarily the best one or the right one. I'm constantly asking myself, and I rarely got feedback. So I hope this will be an opportunity for me to explain why the podcast is as it is, or how the podcast has morphed from whatever it was to whatever it is now. And for those of you who find the idea interesting, but you always thought there's some room for improvement, maybe this is a chance I can finally hear from you with more specific feedback. The fourth point, there are some things I've done recently that's not specifically about this podcast. It's outside this podcast, but whatever I've done, those they are corresponding to, or they're closely related to the theme of this podcast. I thought that's also worth sharing. And finally, my future goal and future plan for this podcast. So let's just kick start it. I'm going to flip the page. I think it's pretty close to the microphone, so it might generate that ooh sound. Point one, 2024 review. The trailer for season 2 was released on March 4th this year. The first episode of the Romanian or the nomadic comic Victor Petroscan was released on March 12th. Since then, I have had 22 episodes with 20 guests this season. There have been 20 English episodes and 2 episodes in my, I would say mother tongue, nah, it's a bit icky, in my most full language. So I'm Taiwanese, so it's always funny to describe what my mother tongue is. I have 20 English episodes and 2 Mandarin episodes, or in a more colloquial term, you'll say 2 Chinese episodes. Out of my guests this season, there have been 18 nationalities, if we exclude UK or British nationality. There have been 20 other languages, being the guest native language. I have had 1 English comedian, Louis Atkinson, and 1 Scottish comedian, that is Marjolaine Robertson from episode 11, I think. Now, sometimes people ask me if I have a favorite episode of my podcast. This is like the parents. They always have their favorite, but they're not supposed to tell you. So I'm not really supposed to tell you what my favorite episode is. Otherwise, I'll be burning a lot of bridges, because every single guest, I'm always appreciative of how they happy to come on. I don't pay them a lot. I just treat them as a meal, so it's less tacky, typically. And some of the guests are quite busy. Sometimes they would just forego that invitation of a free meal or a free cafe or a free piece of cake. So they are willing to sacrifice or use their time to come on the podcast, and I should be nothing but grateful. So this is what I'm going to say. I'm going to provide some recommendation based on the roadmap. I firmly believe that this podcast has attracted people with varying different tastes. Not every one of you get the same thing out of this podcast. I have a fragile coalition of different factions or people of different hobbies, and different people get different things out of comedy with an accent. So this is what I would say. I would say, if you are someone who enjoys the discussion, the talks about confusing identity, cultural clashes, and you want to hear more about someone who cannot be sure where he or she or they belong because they have a migratory or more fluid identity. I would recommend episode 3 in this season. That's from the German-Brazilian comedian Gino Cristoforo. I will also recommend episode 16, comedian Samira Banks. Now, Samira, for the reason explained in her episode, would not want to specify where her native land is. Also, Samira's parents left their country as refugees, and she had a bit more nuanced point of view on how you see the refugees. It's not just a simple victim. Even in a ranking or in an echelon of refugees, there's a hierarchy. It's the middle class one who often are luckier to be able to get out and settle in a Western country first. So I think Samira's episode was refreshing and I've learned a lot from the episode. Now, if you're someone who shows a strong tendency, you want to hear something when people really love their homeland, want to talk about how they want to protect their heritage, their culture. In season 1, there was an episode with Stefan Alleyn, the Welsh comedian. In season 2, I would say the standout episode in this regard would be episode 11 from Marie-Elaine Robertson, the comedian from Shetland, Scotland, which I've just mentioned, I think, in an overall introduction. Now, if you're someone who enjoys the discussion about national stereotypes, I would say episode 4, Ariel Suma, the Ivorian French, half Ivorian and half white French comedian. And there are also some interesting talk about what blackness meant for her because she was raised by her white French mother and she was trying to look for, to ascertain the blackness in her life, that which led to some overcompensating behavior. I will also recommend episode 8 from Guido Garcia Luéchez. Now, Guido is someone I've not met before. I noticed his show during Editable Fringe Festival in 2023. Guido comes from a background that is not just pure stand-up comedy. He's from a performer background, a lot of focus on acting, but he made a wonderfully entertaining and almost comical show talking about the blurred and very generic stereotypes on Latin American men. And he plays also the character in his play. I think it's more like a one-man show. I don't even know how to classify it. If I were the festival programmer, I wouldn't know whether I should put this under theater or under comedy or even cabaret, but it was a fabulous show. And I went to watch him after the festival in Soho Theater and extended the invitation and he gracefully accepted. The third one I would recommend under this category is episode 20, the latest one from Vlad Illich. Vlad is my long-term friend. I've known him for quite a few years and we even did a split show together in 2022. He's from the interesting country of North Macedonia. There's a lot of geopolitical talks, but we also had a bit of debate about how you treat national stereotypes when you try to be funny, but you also want to maybe I'm a bit more protective of my own country because I see my country being punched down quite often on the international stage or in the Western people's eyes. Vlad and I sort of had this discussion peacefully, or I wouldn't say we disagree, but there's a very nuanced discussion in episode 20. If you're interested in regional stereotypes in the context of the British Isles, I'll recommend episode 18 with Louise Atkinson. For someone who is interested in what happens in Britain, we really went to great lengths discussing the North versus South of English stereotypes and class division between middle class and working class. Even me personally, I find it enlightening. There are some very insightful discussion in episode 18. I'm assuming some of my listeners may be comedians themselves. Some of them may be comedians who don't speak English as their first language or their native language. If you're a comedian looking for advice on how to become a better writer, better at writing jokes, better at self-organizing the tool, self-financing, I would recommend, obviously, episode 1, Victor Petroskan. He is the first truly nomadic comedian on the European side. He doesn't have a fixed place. He travels around. He's constantly gigging. Victor's episode would be helpful for someone who tried to start using different European countries to broaden their reach. I would also recommend episode 9 from Mickey Overman, I've always had reservation about, is it appropriate to ask Mickey to come onto the show? Mickey is a well-known comedian based in London on the UK comedy circuit. And people know that she's from the Netherlands. She's a Dutch comedian. But that really isn't her thing. That doesn't carry much importance in her comedy sets or in her comedy shows. And Mickey has become a better writer year after year because I've been watching her shows. Mickey offers a lot of great advice on how to punch up, how to write better jokes. So if you're a comedian looking for that specific kind of advice, I will also recommend episode 9, Mickey Overman's episode. If you are a non-native English speaker, you're trying to find a way to perform in English better, I would recommend episode 13 from Tiziano La Bella. He performed both in Italian and in English. He talks about different audiences in the UK and Italy of different language groups and how he copes with it. I will also recommend episode 14 from Katnip, the comedian from Poland. Also, episode 19, Sergi Polo. Sergi is a returning comedian this season because he already appeared in season 1. And when I thought if I'm going to invite someone back, there has to be a valid reason that we were going to talk about something different. Sergi started a comedy night in Spanish. Actually, there have been more than one. I've noticed someone else also set up a comedy show in the Spanish language in Oxford. But Sergi's comedy show in Spanish is very, very popular, called Comedy Por Favor. So that episode 19, we talk about why he wanted to do this, how he managed to make it successful, what does he want out of this. Of course, if you know about Taiwan and China and you're very interested in the sort of contentious or the tension across the Taiwanese Strait, I recommend episode 2 with Jamie Wang. Jamie is a Shanghainese comedian, but she's based in Taiwan. So her audience naturally see her with suspicion. And that's a very funny dynamics you can exploit tremendously on stage. Also, episode 10, another Chinese comedian from a different region, Fujian province, Blank Pang. Blank doesn't cover her background in sheer detail for the reason you can imagine, but was willing to explore more, to express more her view on the censorship on comedy by the Chinese government. Very, very, very entertaining. Now, I'm going to cover my second book. Oh, we spent more time than I thought I would have done. What Spotify Unwrapped 2024 told me about the listenership. Spotify gave me a more detailed age group breakdown. I can say I honestly couldn't care less. I'm much more interested in a country or language group distribution of people who listen to comedy with an accent, but those are not there. What Spotify did tell me was, first I have to say Spotify only represents below 30% of overall listenership. The biggest one is still Apple Podcasts, but I don't have the kind of information from Apple. So Spotify told me there are people from 57 countries that listen to the podcast. The top country is United Kingdom. There's been no surprise. And I don't know why, but they told me that your youngest listener is from the United States and your oldest listener is from the United Kingdom. I don't know how that is relevant, unless you want to make sure that, oh, there are some really young people listening to your podcast, though mind your language, don't corrupt them. But they don't even tell me what they mean by young listener, how young they actually are. Spotify represents 30% of my podcast download overall. I'm never really sure how the podcast capture downloads, or some if you're just streaming on the podcast, would that get captured? But I can supplement this data from my own platform. I use RSS, but it's quite okay. But they keep referring my home country, Taiwan, as Taiwan province of China. Other than that ground, I should have just switched to a different platform. But, you know, sometimes in priority get compromised, I'm just too lazy to create more admin. But according to RSS, in the last 6 months, it's the longest I can go back, the podcast have reached 90 countries. I would say most of the country don't have a substantial amount of downloads. Number one, same as Spotify, is United Kingdom, but that's now reduced to 30%. If you listen to what I share on the podcast before, in the first 6 months or first year when the podcast was launched, UK listeners always represented around 60 to 70%. So I don't know, maybe through promotion, maybe through my guest home crowd, it starts to spread across borders. United States represent just below 20%. My home country, Taiwan, for obvious reasons, represent just below 10%. But that's also because I kept Facebook mainly to communicate with my friends back home. And I use Facebook in Mandarin sometimes more than in English. So Taiwan is the only other country I will bother to do a specific promotion in Mandarin. I will just post it on Facebook, not on my Instagram, because on Instagram, most of the followers are from non-Mandarin speaking countries. So that's why I have 10% back in Taiwan. I do promote a bit more to Taiwanese people. Some bigger European countries, each of them get between 4 and 5%. And just that concludes the whole 100% map. Interesting though, I have more listeners in Austria than in Germany. And Vienna in the last 6 months is my top three cities where my listeners come from, well ahead of Berlin. I'm really, really disappointed because I started my comedy in Berlin and I do think more people in Berlin will be interested in this kind of stuff. So some of my other top 10 cities where my listeners come from, London, obviously, followed by Taipei. Number three is Vienna. Number four is Singapore. Number five is Washington, D.C. And then L.A., Bangkok, Taichung, another provincial city in Taiwan, they make up almost about the top 10. But you see, all this data, I don't know the accuracy of them because when I started the podcast in 2022, I used to see a lot of numbers from a city in the United States. It's called Ashburn. And I kept wondering, wow, why people in this town are particularly interested in the podcast about different languages and comedy? And turns out that's where Amazon's data center is, and they just use some what they call the bots or the crawlers. So those are not consumed by real people. Fun fact, do you know that Amazon is pronounced differently between British and American English? I only noticed about a year or two ago. In the UK, they would say Amazon, and in the United States, they say Amazon. And if they have a kind of trashy accent, you'll say Amazon. I sometimes just sort of flip between the two, but normally I would say Amazon. Sometimes after a certain episode, there will be a hike from the guest's home country. So after episode 30 of season one, the guest was Dan the Stranger. There were a lot of Russian listeners, and not just Russian listeners based in Russia. There were lots of Russian listeners in countries that the Russians have fled to. My listener heat map around that time became like a visual representation of Russians in exile. That was quite interesting. I've had Swedish comedian Evelyn Mogg and Norwegian comedian Viggo Venn before. Both episodes initially was doing quite similar to other episodes, but at some point, there was a surge in Swedish listeners for Evelyn's episode well after the episode was published. I was guessing maybe Evelyn appeared on some major Swedish TV program. Viggo, for example, end up being the winner of Britain's Got Talent, a very, very big variety show in the United Kingdom. After that, even though I didn't really try to milk something out of it, I didn't try to post on social media and say, hey, look, I've interviewed the BGT Britain's Got Talent winner way before he participated. People still wanted to know more about him and found the podcast. And recently, Sergi came back to talk about Comedy Por Favor. And Sergi had quite a substantial following on social media. So after he shared my Instagram story, the episode got a bump as well. So it's always a bit hit and miss. Over the longer term, whether I can retain all those one-off listeners is really hard to say. Obviously, I'm just glad the podcast has grown since season one, but it can still grow a bit faster. One last point on this, and I promise, I don't really know what those small numbers mean. Sometimes like, wow, people in Madagascar, people in Mauritius listen to my episode. But then I also wondered, but how would I know is a local Madagascan or someone from Mauritius that listened to my episode? If I see my episode being listened to in a small provincial city in Japan, could it be a Taiwanese immigrant in Japan? Let's listen to my episode. So if I see someone listen to my episode in UAE or like in Bangkok or Chiang Mai in Thailand, could it be Thai or could it be British American who moved to Thailand? You can never tell. And this is the level of information or detail I'm really interested in, but I wouldn't be able to get from the statistics. So I enjoy my statistics as a hobby, but I don't take them that seriously. Listeners do get in touch, but you typically do when I go there and have a show and people approach me and then tell me, by the way, I listen to your podcast. There was one very nice Japanese guy who came to my different show twice. The same show, I've done it twice in Berlin and he came twice. So I really appreciate that. I did set up a separate email account just for Comedy with an Accent, and it's listed on every single episode descriptions, but no one ever emailed anything except for the junk mail from all the ticketing websites. Nothing came in at all. But there are people leaving comments on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I'm nothing but grateful. So I'm not going to put any pressure on you guys. Do whatever you like. It's enough that you listen to my podcast on a regular basis. I'm just grateful for that. Now, where am I? Yes, thoughts on producing and editing the podcast. So this is in connection with what I mentioned before. Let me tell you a little bit of an email I wrote in June 2022. So before I approached one of my early guests, Luca Cupani, at that time, Luca's PR asked me what the podcast is about. This is what I wrote in the email to Luca's PR. I said, the idea of comedy with an accent is a podcast that aims to find a fine balance between being informative as well as entertaining. So it is fun to listen to, but the listener also feel of learn something after listening to one episode. So out of urgency, I had to write down what the podcast was about. And this is what I wrote. And I think it pretty much still captured what I'm trying to achieve. Then I wrote, it has various elements as I try to blend them together. Think of Stuart Goldsmith's The Comedian's Comedian podcast, but with a focus on comedians who are not native English speakers, and the podcast is slightly less technical. Think of the characteristic of languages. For example, The Allusionist, Something Rhymes with Purple. I still love both podcasts, but Something Rhymes with Purple is now stopped, and Allusionist only update monthly, I think. And it's been a very long-standing podcast, The Allusionist. And there will be some banters. It's typical of podcasts in the comedy interview category. So I would say this podcast has always been a Venn diagram. There are different hobbies of mine, comedy, languages, and just nonsense. This kind of sit in the middle. I was never sure the exact percentage. So if you ask me a recipe, I can't tell you how much each represents. So this is a constantly moving Venn diagram. Actually, with different guests, this will move. Some episode will sound very comedy heavy. Some episode will sound very, very linguistic heavy. Some episode will sound very cross-cultural stereotype heavy. I try to balance this, but it's not always possible. It can also be influenced by the comedian's prior work, because for my undergraduate study, I did journalism. So I have a habit of listening to as much content out there as possible to narrow down my question for my guests. If the guest has gone on a podcast before and they talk about something specific, I would want to reference that story. And that would change how each episode went. Otherwise, I try to keep my episode fluid with an open-minded attitude. So the question I would definitely ask is my initial question, do you think you have an accent in English? Depending on how the guests respond, I can always find the tiniest clue that, oh, there will be something behind this. For example, they would challenge the definition of accent. They might say something slightly more defensive that, of course, everyone's got an accent. Or they can be quite honest and start to share where they have been judged, where they've been discriminated. So normally it's quite fluid and I will improvise. Some of you may think, oh, so your podcast have a specific point on comedian having an accent. How come you haven't got certain comedians on then? I will simply explain because some guests simply do not respond to me. Because on Instagram, I don't have their email. So if I contact their Instagram, it goes into a message request. Someone will have a profile where you can only send out one message. It will be an invitation. If they chose not to respond, you can't even send a follow-up. Some guests simply don't want to come. Some guests, I think they should come later. I think they are still at a very early development point of their comedy. And it sounds a bit patronizing, but think of it of the fruits you buy at a supermarket and you should leave them ripe at home, you know, the mangoes and avocados. If I waited for 6 months or a year or two, they would come back much more informed, well-rounded, with a lot more interesting stories to tell. And that's why I haven't extended my invitation to certain comedians. I would say the majority of my guests are not TV famous. I'm not trying to shame my guests. It's just the nature of it. Stand-up comedy only got popular in countries outside. Traditionally, it's big in the UK, United States, maybe to an extent Australia and New Zealand. But for most other countries in the world, stand-up comedy being popular locally in either English or in their local language, it's a very recent thing. It's only last few years. Naturally, comedians who grow up elsewhere outside UK or US, they wouldn't have a lot of experience in stand-up comedy. Even if they're super talented, super lucky, just by the nature, by logic, we would not have moved to the upper echelon of the industry. Of course, there are exceptions. I would say Mark Silcox, for example, in this season has been one of the famous faces on TV. People who are not comedy nerds know about his name. So I would say most non-native English speakers, we are not the top level TV comics. And that's why I'm hoping at least when they come, even though not everyone knows them, but you can trust me being the curator of this podcast, all the guests I've selected have something interesting to share and they have something they can tell and can offer their perspective, which would be helpful for some listeners out there. That's also the reason why I choose not to invite certain guests. They are absolutely talented comedians. They put in the hard work, but I feel some comedians like to maintain a facade about them. I could be wrong. I could be misjudging them, but I do feel some comedians put on a more, how to say that? I wouldn't say artificial, but put on a much more defensive persona. It's a lot more difficult to get what they, because I will listen to some of the podcasts they've done and they will repeat pretty much the similar script. So they are less willing to really go there to share the authentic thoughts. It's a lot about maintaining the facade and how they're being perceived. And in this instance, I think it will be a waste of everyone's time. So I try not to, but I think this is a small podcast. I'm not a big deal. So they wouldn't really bother if I don't invite them either. I've also reached out to total strangers before. So when I just mentioned in previous point, Guido is one example. Now, if you can help me, if you're some active fan of some comedian who think they absolutely fit the bill of this podcast, maybe you can email the comic. Maybe you can send them a message, say that, oh, I've been listening to this podcast, Comedy with an Accent. I think it will really help you, or it will be beneficial to you and really fitting to you, and you do really well on it. Maybe you can nudge them and it might help me convince them to get on a bit more easily. Before I move on to the last point and next point, I want to apologize. I'm not a native English speaker, so I don't know if I'm sure some of you would have noticed. You just put up with it or tolerate it or just choose to ignore it. When I hear some of my Taiwanese friends say, oh, do listen to Quan Wen's podcast in English, you can even learn English with it, that fills me with dread and trepidation because my English is not perfect. I'm just trying to, I see it as a tool. I use it as a communication tool. I don't want to do a podcast in Mandarin because I don't want to compromise myself with the Chinese market. So I have to do something in English, but I make errors. The first obvious error I make is the plural. I quite often forget the S. I forgot to pronounce the S. Especially, it's painful for me when I listen to my podcast intro. There were one or two S's that I didn't recall, I didn't pronounce. But then I've tried to recall a different version of the intro and it's never come across as good as the very first one I recorded. So I have to keep that flawed one. The other thing is I drop the consonant. Now, this is counterintuitive because as a Mandarin speaker, the stereotype of Mandarin speakers speaking English, we pronounce every syllable a bit too much. So instead of saying look, the old stereotype of a Chinese speaker would say look. So when we were children and we were told by the tutors to be careful about the consonants at the end, we overdid it, so we end up not pronouncing it. This also may have to do with the habit, how Taiwanese people speak Mandarin, because Taiwanese people mumble. So we tend to ignore the end consonant and the starting consonant of a different syllable and just merge words together. For example, if I say, for example, in standard Mandarin, you say, 好比说,譬如说, but the young Taiwanese are more like to say, 好比说,譬如说, you just mumble through. And I think I carry that habit into English somehow, coupled with me living in London. People in London also speak in a lazier manner. And I think it's because of those two. Sometimes I would drop the consonant, the necessary T or K at the end of the word. And when I listen back, it's too late. You know, sometimes I can sort of fiddle with it during the editing process, but it will be too much work, so I don't do it all the time. So just to be careful, what your objective is to learn English, the English you're listening to on this podcast may not be 100% accurate. Now, something not about this podcast, but something relevant to the podcast that I've done recently is actually just one thing I've done recently. Originally, I want to record one episode all about this, but I don't think I have that much to say. Okay, so I'm going to explain. I'm a Mandarin speaker, but I come from Taiwan. That's why it's a bit funny to describe what my mother tongue is. In terms of language fluency, my most fluent language is Mandarin. But emotionally, I would describe Taiwanese as my mother tongue. The government in Taiwan in the past have banned my ethnic group from speaking Taiwanese. But my grandma couldn't speak Mandarin, so she only spoke Taiwanese. But I spoke only with her in Taiwanese, and everyone else in my life, I've always used Mandarin to communicate. It didn't strike me as something wrong or inappropriate until I learned more about my island's history. And I typically explain I'm like a Welshman from Cardiff or an Irishman from... I love to speak Taiwanese more fluently than my Mandarin, but it's difficult, but I'm trying my best. Recently, I got an invite from a podcast run by two Taiwanese ladies who live in Manchester. They invited me to talk about stand-up comedy, me doing stand-up comedy in English in the UK, but they wanted to interview me in Taiwanese, and I was unsure about it. But then I thought, you know, maybe it's a good opportunity for me to do something about this incompetent language. So I agreed to it. And what I did is I kept watching a lot of content on YouTube, and I even took online lessons. I prepped for the interview for a whole month. My objective was I would conduct the entire interview in Taiwanese. If there's something I cannot pronounce or not know, instead of using an English word or a word in Mandarin, I would just look for the easier alternative so that I can do a whole conversation, a whole interview without mishmashing two languages to keep my Taiwanese sort of proper. But of course, there are some key terms I had to know. For example, I never knew how to say a sense of humor. I never knew how to say stand-up comedy. It's not something I would have talked about with my grandmother before she passed away. So I took the online lessons and I used the online dictionary. And now with technology, dictionary can offer good quality pronunciation, which was not possible when I was studying in university. So with all the resources I have online, I've actually brought my Taiwanese to a new level. I mean, you can still tell I speak Mandarin more fluently. So you can hear my annoying Mandarin accent when I speak Taiwanese. But it does come across a lot more natural, and I made tremendous amount of progress within 1 month. I managed to conclude the podcast interview and I finished my objective. I was talking 90 minutes throughout in Taiwanese. The result, I think the hosts were happy about it. My friends and relatives, they listened to the episode and they thought, no, I think you're being too humble about your Taiwanese proficiency. So it was a happy result. And I'm trying to keep this alive. I still try to consume as much content in Taiwanese as possible. But it's difficult because my Taiwanese friend around me, a lot of them don't speak Taiwanese well. And we don't really have the habit of talking to each other in Taiwanese. I don't know. I found it fascinating. I kept referring to Sergi's episode. I talked to Sergi about when you have a dominant language like Spanish, and when your mother tongue is not quite as dominant, so in such case is Catalan. I talked to Stefan and his mother tongue is Welsh. Welsh obviously is surrounded by the more dominant language, English. But how to keep your language alive? How to make sure you don't become an accomplice in killing your mother tongue? I don't know. It's a big topic. I just like to share I've done this episode, and if you don't understand both languages, Mandarin and Taiwanese, it might not mean much to you. But if you happen to be a Mandarin speaker or a Taiwanese speaker, you can find link to this Banxia Li Ding. This is the name of the podcast. You can find the link to this episode. If not, message me. I'll tell you about it. I think it was a very, I would say personally, I found it the most challenging and rewarding goal that I've achieved this year. And I wouldn't say I've done myself proud, but I'm just very glad I did it. Now, my throat hurts, and this is really, really weird because I'm used to, when I started the podcast, it was weird talking into a microphone, but at least I was still looking at another human being, and I realized it wasn't difficult. I don't write down my script word by word because whenever I interview someone else and when my guest is talking, I can use the time when the other person talks to think about what they say, what question I should phrase. So basically, it's a small chunk of talking with a lot of prep time. I just need to master the craft of listening and thinking and phrasing my next question at the same time. But at least you have the short respite, you know, short break every now and then. Doing a monologue is really, really weird. When I was trying to write down what I meant to cover in this monologue, I wasn't sure how detailed should I write. Should I do the highest level or bullet point, or should I at least write a bit more? But then I thought, if I write too detailed a script, would I be able to read it? If it comes across I'm reading something that I've written, wouldn't that remove the sort of natural just talking to you, the charm of a podcast? I don't know what I've done. So I started very detailed and then it got very late. I was transferring file, trying to format my micro SD card at the end of it. I was so tired. So for the last one, I just scribbled. So how am I going to end on this? I want to thank you for supporting the podcast, even though you may have dropped out, even though you didn't listen to all the episodes. I don't think you need to listen to every single episode if you don't have the time. That's why I've included a sort of my roadmap. Depending on who you think you are as the type of listener I've classified, you can follow the episode I recommend is specific to your group. You know, I consider my podcast listeners to be a fragile coalition like the US Democrats or the UK Labour voters. They are extreme liberal people. They are middle of the road people. They're even communists and everyone is different. So you don't have to agree on everything. You can just look for the thing you like. And I'll try to make sure across the timeline, there is something for everyone. They may not be every episode is for you, but every two or three episodes, there should be something for you because I try to maintain this fragile coalition. The only thing I'm never sure is how much comedy and how much languages. You can tell from my podcast, I venture from comedy, from the comedy stage persona, quite often into cultural, sometimes involving political, history, sort of social discussion. But I'm also a hobbyist, language enthusiast. There is a distinction between a linguist and a language enthusiast. I like to talk about languages, I like to talk about accents, but I don't like to write about it to the point I have to write a dissertation, a thesis on it. I would say, oh, this sound typically changes. This is the kind of language I would use. Instead of saying, in this language, there is not a dithathon. Is that the linguist word? I think there was even one episode. I wasn't even sure how to pronounce linguist in English. Yet, on YouTube, I'm the kind of person that YouTube algorithm will try to put forward. What is the grammatical difference between Sicilian and Italian? And sometimes that will come in an episode in Italiano. Qual è la differenza tra Siciliano e Italiano? I'm a language enthusiast. I learn languages, but I tend to sort of give up halfway when I get to B1 or B2. But I will also get videos like how the Vulgar Latin was corrupted and developed into different West Romance languages. And that's something I will watch, but I wouldn't want to write a dissertation about this. And this is the kind of attitude I take to this podcast. I want to include the language point, but I've noticed that only some of my early episodes, I was specifically address the language and grammatical structure of the language, how they would influence the comedian to write jokes. For example, in season 1, 5, or 6 with Yuriko Kotani, I talk about the word order of Japanese is entirely different from English and how that makes it difficult for Japanese to learn English and how that makes it different the way to write jokes in Japanese and in English. But this is not always possible because I think I can only approach this when I have a certain affinity to the language, when I have certain knowledge or I speak to extend that language. And most of those languages are European languages. I've learned German, French, and a little bit of Italian. And when I was very young, I learned a little bit of Japanese, but I didn't commit to it. So I do feel bad because it feels like the podcast is very European, especially West European centric. People then say, oh, you don't have enough coverage from Africa. I'm aware of that. But I think only when the guest has something to say and I'm able to invite the guests on if they are interested. I do try to make it as diverse as possible, but I still want to make sure this podcast is authentic to someone like me who hope this podcast has something to offer. That's why a lot of those more linguistic talk is based on the Romance language, and I feel bad when it comes to Slavic languages. The only thing I remember is when I have the chat with my guest, Filip Kotletsky. He grew up in Slovenia, so I Google about it. I learn about, wow, in some Slavic languages, they have two different plural form. They have one plural form for number of two and then another one for the number of three. I think, wow, there's just so much to learn. Right, that's it. That's my monologue. I don't have a lot more to say. You probably had enough of me. I had enough myself, so I'm gonna go. I hope everyone have a wonderful holiday. Have a lovely Christmas and Happy New Year. Frohe Weihnachten, 圣诞快乐, 新年快乐. See you next episode. Bye.